Please turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 1. I'm going to preach this morning on personal soul winning. John chapter 1, we'll read starting in verse 40. John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to preach. We thank you for the opportunity that we still have to do personal work, to knock on doors, to deal with people at work and at school. I don't believe we'll have this opportunity for a lot longer, but I pray that we would be encouraged to take advantage of the freedoms we have while we have them, Lord. I pray that you'll bless the message, that you'll speak to hearts, that somebody might be saved because we came this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. As we read in this passage, Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. Now, we never read in Scripture that Andrew ever preached a sermon. If he did preach a sermon, it wasn't important enough to be recorded. But of course, we know that his brother, Simon Peter, preached one sermon. I mean, he preached many and was a leader in the early church. But he preached one sermon and saw 3,000 saved. Now, that's the whole thing I want to get across to you. Where would Simon Peter's sermon be if it wasn't for his brother's personal soul winning? Okay? I believe the most important Christian work is personal soul winning. We look up on a platform like I'm up here, and there's hundreds of people looking up here, and we think this is so important, and it is important. Don't take my message as saying that preaching isn't important. But, again, I think God looks to personal workers to get things done. Just as Andrew, we have a big day, our anniversary day every year. That's where we normally see many, many souls saved. By the way, last Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, we had a wonderful invitation, but what good would it have done me to preach that message if people out here hadn't done their work to get the unsaved in? That's the emphasis that I'm trying to make this morning. Most of us know this story, but there was a man in Boston who had a Sunday school class years ago, and a young man straight from the country came to his class for the first time. He was dull. He knew nothing about the Bible. He couldn't find the Gospel of John. And that teacher could have ignored him. And you Sunday school teachers, I think you get through the years. I have a burden that you have more of a burden. That you don't just give your story. That you don't just give the object lesson. But that you have a burden. And I'll say it again. If you don't have a burden burning in your heart to touch the lives of your students, please resign. Because souls are going to go to hell because of that lack of burden. Now, this man, this Sunday school teacher, I understand he wasn't of any importance in secular life. And like I say, he could have ignored him, but he had a heart full of love for his students and a passion for their souls. And one day, he went over to the boot shop where this student worked, and he asked him if he'd like to be a Christian. The student responded that nobody had ever talked to him about his soul before, and he didn't know how to be a Christian. And the teacher asked, well, can I show you out of God's Word? And he took some time and showed him out of God's Word how he could know he could go to heaven. And he knelt right there in the boot shop and received Christ as his personal Savior. Now, most of us know who I'm talking about, D.L. Moody, maybe the greatest preacher / evangelist that ever lived. And the question I'd have today is, where would D.L. Moody be if it weren't for a Sunday school teacher who had a burden for souls? And where would all the souls that Moody saw saved in all of his meetings across the country and even in England and other countries, where would they be if it weren't for what I understand, a very simple Sunday school teacher who had a burden for souls? Now, what I'm getting at is that what our concern should be is to win souls to Jesus Christ. And if you're a Sunday school teacher, that should be your concern. Now, I understand, and my message is going to speak toward me and my responsibility. It's not just that we teach soul winning. I'm not saying that. We have various things that we teach in our classes. But do you really have a burden for souls? Or is it just review the lesson that you taught year in and year out? Make some calls because that's a requirement. How much of a burden do you have for souls? I don't think that this world could ever be saved through preaching. I understand, and you, if you've come here very long, you understand that the Bible teaches the world is never going to be reached. That there's going to be more go to hell than go to heaven. Broad is the way to go to that goes to hell, and narrow is the way to go to heaven. I understand that. But suppose each one of you would become a soul winner, and you did the very best you could to win a soul to Christ. And of course, it's so important once we win them to Christ to make sure they're in church, make sure they understand what they're doing and help them grow. So let's say that each one of us was able to win a soul to Christ in 1 year and teach them to be able to be strong enough to win a soul themselves. According to statistics, in 40 years, the world would be won. Now, again, I'm not saying that the world's going to be won in 40 years, but what I am saying, that the way to reach the masses is not through preaching, but through people responding to the preaching and doing personal work. That's the way it's done. Today, I just want to talk to you about the advantages of personal soul winning. And the first advantage I want to point out is that anybody can do it. Not everybody can preach. I'm sorry, women's livers, but women aren't supposed to preach according to the Bible. And even all you men can't preach. I see some of you saying, I'm glad. And I look at some of you and I say, I'm glad. but we all can't preach. And we all can't sing. I enjoyed that song so much. Every once in a while I think, boy, it would be nice to sing in a quartet or something like that, but you'll never see it. I can't sing, and I understand I can't sing. But I'll go a step further. Everybody that's saved shouldn't be a Sunday school teacher. We ask people to be Sunday school teachers, but we don't know. How many times have you heard me say, I don't know God's will for your life. Now, I can help you. I've got experience. I've been saved. I like saying I've been saved for 64 years because that's a long time. I don't think many people have been saved that many years. And I like that. And with old age comes experience. And I can help you. And other people with experience can help you. But only you know God's will. And when we'd come to you and say, would you pray about being a Sunday school teacher? We'd like to, for you to be a Sunday school teacher. That doesn't mean you should be a Sunday school teacher. If you don't have a burden to be a Sunday school teacher, if you don't have something inside of you that says, man, I want to touch these people for God, then you shouldn't be a Sunday school teacher. It's as simple as that. But on the other hand, there's not a child of God that can't be a personal soul winner. Every mother, and you've heard me say that, you know how I believe in the bus ministry. And when I get out and preach in other churches, they get so sick and tired of me building up the bus ministry. I so believe that is the best way to go out into the highways and hedges and bring them in. But I also think that there's something more important than that, and that is winning your own children to God and raising them up for God. Now, again, most of you haven't been saved 60 years. But I'll tell you something. I can remember when there were independent Baptist churches of thousands, 10,000, 20,000, all over America. Our church would be a small church back then. Now we're a large independent Baptist church. There's not much larger than us. What happened? If we just won our children and raised them up for God, a church of 1,000 would soon be 2,000 if it was only raising our family. And a church of 2,000 would soon be 3,000. Are you following me? The point I'm making is, mothers and fathers, there's nothing that you can ever do more important than raising your children for God. And I'll tell you, I love our bus ministry and many other ministries, but there is nothing that makes me happier than to see you raise your children for God, whether they stay in our church or whether they more and more are spreading out and going out and serving other places across the country. I don't care what it is, but just raise your children for God. And if we did that, the world could be won. I'm not saying everybody in the world, but I'm saying if we just raised our children, not to say, well, he's in church every Sunday morning, but to be a strong Christian, to be a soul-winning Christian. What a difference it makes. R.A. Torrey told about a lady coming to him. She had read the story of Frances Willard, who was a famous woman in that day that was doing a great work for God. And she came to him saying, I'd like to do what she's done. And Torrey sat her down and basically said, what I'm saying to you, Win your children. Win the people you're in contact with. And this lady took it to heart. She had five children and won all five to the Lord. And then the youngest one died, and she went as far as to win the undertaker, the funeral director, to the Lord. She won people all around her. Now, the point I'm making is that's what gets the job done. Each one of you can win souls that wouldn't listen to me. Now, I see some of you. You understand what I'm saying. You agree with what I'm saying. But what are you doing? What are you doing? Those people in the office, what are you doing? Do you know there was a time, in the time of Torrey and Moody, where it was not uncommon to have a preacher come and preach in the office and have special soul-winning meetings, or in a factory or in a school, public schools? Not anymore. And I know they're tightening the screws down, but I still say it is your responsibility to make sure that everybody in that office at least you've attempted sincerely to show them how to be saved. Everybody. Everybody you work with. You say, oh, they won't listen. Well, bus captain, you lead people to the Lord as you have a bus route. That's the same type of people you work next to in the factory. Are you listening? And you say, well, they won't listen. Well, they're there. Now, I understand that they're tightening screws down, but I also understand that whether it's in the public school or elsewhere, we can still do it. An invalid can do personal work. I heard the story of a guy who worked with criminals and outcasts in New York City. And there was a woman that was the worst of the worst, and she got saved, but she was dying. She was extremely weak. I don't know what her problem was, but she was dying, and he brought her home to their home to die. But she didn't just lay there feeling sorry for herself. She wrote to her friends, and some of them were in prison. They were all around the country, and she told them of her plight and how she had gotten saved and asked to visit. And this worker said that there was a continual people coming. And the woman was constantly dealing with her souls. And by the time she went to heaven, she had led over 100 souls to Jesus Christ. That's an invalid. I remember a young lady in the church that Sharon and I grew up in, and she had polio. And in that day, polio was kind of a common thing, and she had to be much of her life in what was called an iron lung. It was like a casket, and her head was sticking out of it. But sometimes she was in a wheelchair and so forth. And she didn't just feel sorry for herself. She won dozens to the Lord. I remember doctors and nurses that she won to the Lord, and people in every walk of life. And the point I'm making is that these invalids should put us to shame. Here she was in an iron lung, and here we are with two good legs. If we would get on fire, I believe we could do a great work for God. And I think a problem with a church like ours, we try not to, but we get stayed. We get established. And we're sitting here saying, what a wonderful church we have. And we have a wonderful church. But it's going to be a stench in God's eyes if we're not using what we have to win souls. And I say again, there's nothing more important than personal soul winning. The second advantage is you can do it any place. Now, again, I can't preach any place. We have three services a week. We're having our preaching conference. We have some special meetings. But, you know, again, in when I was a teenager, there used to be street preaching. We'd go out to, I didn't street preach, but we'd go out and a crowd would be gathering. Today, I've never seen anybody street preaching when anybody even stopped. They just walked by, maybe spit on them. The things that used to be able to be done can't be done. Again, I say there was a time when the boss would invite a preacher into the office or into a factory, into a school. Today, I would never recommend anybody to be a chaplain in the service because their hands are tied. You see? But if you're an employee, you can witness. Okay? And if you're a soldier, you can really witness. You can really do a good job. And if you're a student, I don't care how they scoff. Remember this one thing. There is a God. And there is a Holy Spirit. And people will call it their conscience. You call it what you want. But these students, these young people in particular, are scared to death. I know I use this as an example, but if you read the Chesterton Tribune, you read those obituaries, and they'll say so-and-so died of cancer, and so-and-so died after a heart attack, so-and-so died with his family around him, and then here's so-and-so 27 years old, and they never say anything about it. It's either drugs or suicide. And again, I think I mentioned this. There was an article a couple of weeks ago about how that drugs and suicide, it's rampant in the Duneland School District. They want to act like it's so wonderful. Those kids are scared to death. Those kids are in a mess. Maybe they're messing with drugs and booze and sex and everything else. They're so messed up. But I'll tell you what, if somebody would tell them about Jesus' love, and give them a clear plan of salvation, I do believe many would be saved. Well, you say they laugh. I know our young people will go and pass tracts out, and they laugh. Well, that's to be expected with young people today. But you get them alone. That's what I'm talking about, the advantage of personal soul winning. You're going to answer to God for the people that you to go to school with and the people you work with and the people you know and socialize. I led a young man to the Lord. It's been many years ago now. And he worked for his uncle, roofing. And he witnessed to his uncle. And his uncle told me later, he's so mad he's ready to throw him off the roof. But his uncle got saved. And his uncle was an alcoholic type of guy, though. He just poured it down the drain and that was the end of it. People say they can't. No. And his uncle had two sons. Of course, the wife got saved, too. Two sons. One was in the Navy and one was in high school. And both of them started really soul winning. And the guy in the Navy, in fact, he was a member of this church. He came out here and married one of our teachers and took her away. But he saw well over 100 people make professions of faith up in Iceland. And I remember him saying, there's no church here. There's nothing here. And I remember saying to him, well, good. You start a Bible study. And he started a Bible study and he had over 100 souls saved while he was in the military. And then the boy in high school, he started winning souls and ended up a missionary. And this guy's father was a member of a conservative organization. And one by one, those guys came out and got saved. Now I say, what are you getting at? What I'm getting at is I can't preach on the roof. Huh? And I can't preach in the Navy. And I can't preach at high school. But I say again, if you handle yourself correctly, I don't believe there's a factory, an office, or a school that you can't do personal work. It's funny how we're so worried about losing our freedoms, but I want to say something as a fact. If we did what we should do in this, we wouldn't have to worry about losing our freedoms. We're losing our freedoms because we're not using our freedoms. But the third advantage is that you can do it anytime, any hour of the day or night, 365 days a year. Now, my old age, I've got voice problems. I can just preach twice a Sunday now. But I'll tell you what, you can go out any place and go soul winning. And I would say at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can go soul winning. You say, what do you mean? Well, there's these all night, 24-hour operations. I would guess that person gets lonely there when somebody's not robbing him, and he wouldn't mind a little company if you would handle yourself correctly. Do you understand what I'm saying? There, if you try, there's so many ways. Soon after Moody was saved, he promised the Lord not to let a day go by without talking to somebody about the Lord. And one night he came home late and realized he had not done that. And he looked out and there was a guy standing under a street light outside of his room. And he thought, this is my chance. And he went down there and he said, are you a Christian? I'd like to tell you how to know the Lord as your Savior. And the guy got mad and cussed at him and said, you know, if you weren't a preacher, I'd throw you in the gutter. Well, he said, I just wanted to lead you to the Lord. But the next day, this man he tried to witness to went to a friend of Moody, the Christian friend. And he said, you know, he's got a lot of zeal, but no knowledge. And he's doing more harm than good. And the friend came to Moody and said, you know, it's okay to be earnest, but you got to use your head. And I agree you have to use your head. But I'd rather see a person with zeal without knowledge than knowledge without zeal. And Moody felt bad. You know, preachers feel bad sometimes. They get their feelings hurt. But a few weeks later, there's a pounding on his door, and the very man from under the light was standing there, and he said, Moody, he said, I haven't had a night's rest since you witnessed to me. Please tell me how to be saved. The point I'm making is you don't have to worry about how people respond. We want to use tact, yes. We want to use our head, but you can win souls. Then the fourth advantage is that it reaches all classes. There's a great many of people who will never be reached any other way. There's thousands who would never, ever come into this church. But I would guess, I'm just guessing, our buildings can comfortably handle 3,000 with the kids and so forth like that, maybe 3,500. But the question is, how do we get them in? Okay, that's what we have a bus ministry for. That's what we have big days for. And by the way, we're starting our spring push next Sunday. That's why we do these things. And at times we use handouts. At times we put billboards up. At times we put ads in the paper. But that doesn't get people out. It stirs up interest. It makes them think. It makes it easier for you to witness to them. But it doesn't get them out. The only way they're going to get out is by a personal invitation. Okay? And I just believe that is such a tremendous way to win souls. If especially on the big day, you just get out as many. And I'll tell you what, I have friends say, how do you see that many saved in one day? Well, if you have hundreds, literally hundreds of unsaved out in the auditorium, you'll get some of them saved. And that's a tremendous way to win souls. But the fifth advantage is that it hits the mark. Okay? I was just talking about a big anniversary day. You know I'm going to preach exactly on soul winning. Some will be saved, but if they're not dealt with beforehand, many might not even understand. I guess what I'm trying to say is even when I'm preaching on soul winning, maybe I'll preach on It's by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. But maybe it would be better to preach on hell. Okay? I like to preach on hell. It gets great response. But the point that I'm making is that even when I'm preaching specifically on salvation, you have to preach in a general way. And yet, if you're dealing with a man or woman specifically, you hit the mark every time. Henry Ward Beecher was a famous preacher from years gone by. You've probably heard of him. And he used to use a personal example or illustration to illustrate this. And he said he went hunting with his dad. He had gone hunting many times before, but never brought anything home. And his dad said, "Henry, you want to get yourself a squirrel today?" And he said, "Yeah, but every time I never hit him." And he said, "Well, next time you put the rifle, just lay it on this fence post and get that squirrel in your sights and pull the trigger." So the next time he saw one, he did exactly that. He got him in his sights. He pulled the trigger and got his first squirrel. Now, for most of you guys, you're saying that's silly. But the point that was made was he never really aimed before. And I really believe that's the problem with a lot of churches and why they don't see souls saved and a lot of people that don't see souls saved. Because they don't really aim. They just kind of beat around the bush. And it's hard to really win anybody unless you are really aiming for them personally. And the whole idea, if you don't aim at it, you're not going to get it. And that's the advantage of personal soul winning. People can't take what you say and apply it to others, like most do. It is amazing to me how I'll preach a sermon, even with some of you. I'll preach a sermon, it happens over and over and over again, and I'll preach a sermon, I'm trying to get a certain point across, and the next week somebody will say something to me, and they'll say, "Man, I really, really got a lot out of that point." And I'm thinking to myself, I don't remember preaching that point. And I'm saying it happens all the time. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that so many people get out of a message what they filter it through their own minds. Now, I try to be personal and pick out a certain topic, but it's very seldom as effective as personal work. Tori again told a story of knowing a man who was always talking about the deeper life and what a spiritual Christian he was, but he was honestly hurting the cause of Jesus Christ. And so when Tori saw him come into the church when he was preaching, he said, "I've got just the message. It's just what he needs." He changed his message and he preached right down that guy's throat. And after it was over, the guy he came up to him and said, "I really love that message. So-and-so needed that. I wish he were here tonight." And that happens so often. And Tori said, "You know, he didn't hear a thing I said. But," he said, "when I looked him in the eye and I preached right at him personally, he got the message." And that is what's good about personal work. Now, I can preach all I want, but when I individually look in the eye, you know I mean you. And the greatest evangelist, whether it's Tory or Moody, could preach to thousands, but thousands leave unsaved. And one that can leave unsaved, maybe some uneducated person will see them and give them the plan of salvation and they'll get saved. Personal work. Even a man, when he makes a decision in a crowd, many times has fears. That's why it's so important to for you workers. And I want to say again, we'll be having more people saved here in the next 5-6 weeks. It's so important that you give them the true plan of salvation, not this easy believism stuff, not just this quickie thing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Make sure they know what they're doing. And if they don't know what they're doing, don't tell them they're saved. Person to person, you can fit all their needs. I heard a story of a doctor, and I won't vouch for its truth. I hope it's not true, but it said that he had a bottle, a jug, with every bit of medicine that he ever prescribed in the jug. And he thought, well, when I don't know what's wrong with a person, if I give him some of this jug, at least he'll have some of what he needs. And that's the way we preachers have to preach sometimes. It always makes me feel bad when somebody said, "Preacher, I've got this unsaved person here, he's never come before, and boy, I've been praying for him, and I'm preaching on separation. I'm preaching on why you shouldn't run around naked on the beach or something like that." It's so much harder with preaching, and so again. It's specific. And next and last, I'm going to give you one last reason, and that is it produces abundant results. Again, people want to look at mass meetings. We were talking about this Thursday night. The last meeting that I ever had anything to do with, mass meeting in Chicago, I don't know how many thousands of people were there. We put money into it and time and effort and all this type of thing. And there weren't hardly any results. We'll have more results on an anniversary Sunday than they did after spending literally hundreds of thousands on a mass meeting. In reality, listen, I don't know. I don't keep track. But let's say in a year I see 300 saved preaching from the pulpit. Okay? Now, if every one of you would win a soul to Jesus Christ, how many hundreds more that would be? That's the point that I'm making. Huh? Now, people are amazed at our big days and how people get saved. And I praise God for it. I'm not trying to make light of it. But do you understand? If every one of you did your job, you would dwarf what's saved through the preaching of this pulpit. Preaching cannot compare to personal work. And down through history, what we would call the great churches, most of the pastors were not great orators. But they had Sunday school teachers who were hungry to win souls. And they had deacons who realized that their first priority was to win souls. Every great church in history around the world was sold on soul winning. Going out and getting the people. You say, "I've never done it." Just go to God. Ask for power. Ask for guidance. And then, of course, you need some scripture. When I started, I put tabs in there. You say, why? Because my hands were so shaken and my mind would go blank. And I'd put tabs in there. And I tabbed it down so I didn't even have to think. And I could go from one verse to another. I'm not saying that it's natural for anybody. But I'm saying everybody is going to be responsible to God for personal soul winning. And so, again, get your power from God. Get what you need to say. And understand the Bible says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him." Now, you say, what if I make a stupid blunder? We all do. Okay, I still do. You make a stupid blunder, you just go back and do it again. Get alone with God. Okay? It's springtime. It's springtime. And I just want to say again, you should be excited about getting out and doing it. We've put that door up back there as an encouragement to see how many thousands of people we can talk to, we can at least give a tract to, we can knock on their door. We should be excited. It's springtime. Get out and do it. You put it off, you'll put it off again, you'll put it off again, and you'll answer to God someday, and you'll say, I wish I would have done more. Let's pray.